And it's a joy to be in church. Thank you so much, Brother Marty, on behalf of the deacons, the presentation you made. It's a joy to be a pastor, and a joy to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's a thrill of my heart, and I thank you so much for your kindness. It's unnecessary, but certainly appreciated. Thank you and the others, and thank the church for, if you don't have a church, you can't pastor. So if I came here and none of the rest of y'all was here, they say if a person's leading but nobody's following, that means he's just taking a walk. So I want to take a walk, but praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Marty. Thank you so much, and what a joy to be the pastor of a New Testament, Bible-believing Baptist church. It doesn't matter whether it's 500, whether it's 400, 300, 200, 100. There was a pastor here this morning. The pastor is about 40. And I thank God for him as well. It's just a joy to be in God's service and a thrill to get to be the pastor. So thank you so much for that. Well, I told you that we'd be back in Exodus chapter 19, and I want you to look at Exodus 19, verse number 8. And we'll read one verse as a springboard. We already established some of the thoughts in as we preached this morning. And then we'll move from there into a couple of verses later in the chapter. But I want you to look at Exodus 19, verse number 8. And I want to preach a message entitled, "The People Answered Together." Because you'll see here, I'll get the title right out of the verse. And then we'll look at some other verses as we preach through the message this evening. Verse number 8, "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned to the words of the people unto the Lord." Verse number 9, "And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I am come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord." Look down, if you will, verse number 14. "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people," he went back up, "and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes." Look over for a little further in verse number 17. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." One other place, verse 21. "And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." The story being that, of course, Moses had went up into the mountain. And in the end of verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." He goes back and speaks with the Lord, and he comes back down. God says, go back down and hold them back, lest they come up here and get their killing done, basically. They get down here, and many people perish, many of them perish at the end of verse number 21. I want to focus, you remember this morning we talked about the, as Moses went up to talk to the Lord, and then he comes back down, then all of the people, they accept, in verse number 7 and 8, they accept the word that Moses has given. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, and told about that. And as we look at that this evening, I want to look at that one aspect that all the people answered together. You know, you go to Chick-fil-A and you go through the drive-thru right now is all you can do. And they all answer whenever you ask something or you say something. My pleasure. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you. My pleasure. They always answer. They're always consistent in that. And they've been trained to do just that very thing. One day I was working and I had on speakerphone trying to get a hold of something for our telephone service. And so I was just working in my office and working. And I timed it. After a while, you get aggravated at it. And it was over 2 hours. I was on hold for some customer service person that was low on service to the customer, which was me, of course, at that point. And you get some guys on there, ladies, they're very good. And some of them in this particular company weren't so good. And there's not consistency in that. And I know that businesses, as they try to lay out their plan for the customers, they want to have consistency so that when you call or when you come in, then you can always get the same experience. That's at least their goal. But the people here, as we look back there, I'm saying that in a business way, you want all of your employees to answer the same way. If you own a business, small or big, you want it to always be a good experience. You want all of your employees to come together and say, this is how we handle that. and we want them to be together. You do the same thing in your house, don't you? If we used to be, but back before everybody had cell phones, we only had one phone there at the house, and we were supposed to answer it a certain way. And hello, Herdmans, and we were supposed to do this. Dad said to do, when you answer this way. You want everybody in the family to be consistent in that. Now you answer, of course, your cell phones are everywhere, and you don't want people to know your last name because they think, is this the Smiths, the Joneses, or whoever? And then when you say this is the Herdmans, oh, Mr. Herdman, we were wanting to talk to you. And Dad, I was at my dad's house not too long ago, check on mom, and I heard Dad answer the phone, and he said, no, he doesn't live here, and that salesman didn't miss a beat. They said, oh, well, you're the one we really want to talk to, and so he wanted to talk to somebody that had the phone number before, but well, now that we don't have him. So you want your employees to be consistent. All of them say the same thing. Well, we find that consistency is here in this group of Israelites as Moses gets back down, and he basically says, here's what God said. Da, da, da. And he gives the list there. He tells them in verse number 5 and 6 as he lays out the covenant that's there. And we see the Mosaic covenant. And then in verse number 8, all the people answered and said, yes, sir, we'll do it. And so tonight, as we look about that a little bit, I want to show you the strategy, if I could say it like this, for us as Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, working together as a team, working together in unity, all answering the same thing, or the also I want you to show the mindset that's needed for all of us to hear from the Lord and then be able to step out and do what God wants them to do. So if you bear with me for a few minutes, let me give you this, and I believe the Lord will get in it. So we see, first of all, if we want to be this group of Israelites, I'm going to take some spiritual truths from here and apply them to our current life. So we see, first of all, that the group of people, the Israelites, were a listening people. And I would ask us all this evening, are we a listening church? Are we a listening individual? Are you a listening family? When God leads your family to do something, are my ears on? Am I ready? Am I listening? Look at verse number 8. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. How is my time with the Lord? We spent some time on that this morning, so I won't dwell on it much tonight. But how is my time with the Lord? Am I waiting, ready, expecting something to happen? Am I wanting God to do something? Am I eagerly anticipating? Am I listening to the Lord? You know, it wasn't long ago we were talking about Elijah, and the Word of God said that God wasn't in the earthquake or the great winds, but God instead was in that still small voice. And as I alluded to this morning, sometimes we won't hear that still small voice because there's too many loud noises going on in our lives. And I would strive for all of us, I would beg for all of us to strive to listen to the Lord, be a listening people. As Moses gets back down and he calls for the elders in verse number 7, and all the people, and they laid before the face of all these all the things that the Lord had said, and they were listening. You understand, it's not my schedule that keeps me from listening to the Lord. It's not my time of day. It's not the the difficulty in focusing or paying attention. Instead, it's just that I'm not listening. You ever told somebody while they're watching a sporting event something? Wives, ladies, have you ever went and you told your husband and he agreed so readily, that's when you should have known something was wrong. Hey, do you mind running to the store to pick up this? Yeah, sure, that'd be fine. Yeah. And say, well, I need it before I start supper. Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. I'm going to start supper here in about 20 minutes, so I need you to run and get it. Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. And then what happens 20, 35, 40, 55 minutes later, you go and you say, hey, did you get that? Are you back from the store already? And he looks at me and said, what store? She said you're going to go get that for me. But you didn't. Because he wasn't listening. There's a whole lot of difference between hearing and listening. Sometimes we often hear things, but oftentimes we don't listen. And there's a great difference between those two. I heard about this one lady that has sent her husband. She said, I need you to get a gallon of milk. And if they have avocados, get 6. And so the husband came back with he came back and his arms were full of 6 gallons of milk. And she said, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I went to get that 1 gallon of milk, but they did have avocados, so I got 6 gallons like you said. There's a difference between hearing and listening. And my friend, I'm afraid spiritually we're hearing a lot of things. We hear so many things. A lot of you listen to Christian radio. Some of you, you're listening to the Bible through podcast, or listen to messages through podcasts. And we listen to the Bible sometimes audio ways. And we hear all these things. And we sometimes hear Bible teaching, Bible preaching. And we hear all of these things. And we hear responses back and forth. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. Folks, the Lord's goodness is on display. How many of us noticed the nip in the air in the last day or two? The Lord's goodness is on display. The seasons come and the seasons go, and you start to see the leaves change. You see all these good. The Lord is speaking, but sometimes we're not listening. And this group of people, I see, as they answered together, they all answered in the same fashion, and they said, "What the Lord said, we'll do." Not only were they listening, though, I see that if you look down in one of the verses we read, verse number 10, not only were they listening, but they were a clean people. Now I'm going to take this and spiritualize what's here. Verse number 10, we see that they physically, literally got clean. The Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." They were getting ready. Look down in verse number 14. "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, just as God told him to do, and they washed their clothes." Not only were they listening people, but they were a clean people. Now they were physically getting ready for the meeting with the Lord. They were excited. If you could turn it to today's culture, to turn to us today, they were getting gussied up. They were getting ready. They were getting cleaned up. They were getting ready. They were getting their Sunday go meeting clothes on. They were getting ready because they were respecting the Lord. They were wanting to hear from that. I think all of us remember those days when company was coming, and when mom said, "Listen, company's coming, so clean this place up." Amazing, you just didn't keep it clean all the time. But we all know how it gets cluttered a little bit here and there. And listen, friend, if the Lord is wanting to speak to us, now here's where we'll go and show it from that physically happened, this spiritually needs to happen. If we know the Lord wants to speak to all of us, and the Word of God says that He does, He says that He wants to speak and have a relationship with us, then we ought to spiritually get cleaned up as well. I would submit to you that you should do some house cleaning if company's coming. How many of you have done that jobs before where you're trying to shove stuff in closets, you're trying to throw it in the garage, you're trying to throw it everywhere you can? "Oh no, please don't go in there." And then somebody finds your hiding spot. We were never so happy. I was with my pastor one time, and we went to a certain church not too far from here, and they very pride themselves greatly on being very polished and very prestigious and all that. And finally, we looked around with more service. We were there for a special event, and finally we found it. This great church that they tried to make sure everything looked clean and neat. We finally found this old closet that looked like a broom closet where the water had leaked in, like everybody else's church does, except they don't show it there at the beginning. And we finally found it where even that great church had some spiders and cobwebs in the deep, dark recesses of this place. And you said, "What were you doing looking around?" "We were trying to find some dirt on that pastor. That's what we were doing." And we did. All of us have some house cleaning to do. But we also have some spiritual house cleaning to do. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you all of your sins, because I don't know them and you don't need for me to tell them. But I can tell you this: if there's bitterness down deep in our hearts, there's bad attitudes down deep in our hearts, there's resentment down deep in us, there's something that's bothering us from somebody that did so long ago, they can't remember it, but you certainly can. I'm telling you, we need to have a spiritual house cleaning and get ourselves. In verse number 12, the Bible says that this group of people, they go not up into the mount unless they were clean, the Bible says. In verse number 13, they shall not in hand touch it. In verse number 14, as we read, they washed their clothes. They got physically ready for the Lord to do a great work in their lives. And I want our church tonight to get spiritually ready for the Lord to do a work in your life, and remind you of this, that the Lord rarely reaches over your sin to pour out His blessings upon you. And so if God's already rung your bell about something in the last week, my friend, you need to just give up to God and get clean. Is there somebody somewhere in this world that you need to apologize to about something? Is there somebody somewhere that you need to make things right with? Is there anybody that if they walked in that back door back there, you'd say, "Oh, brother"? Folks, that ought not be. Now, I'm not saying we're going to jump up and down and say, oh, so good to see you. Last time I saw you, you punched me. Yeah, I understand some people were not as excited, but there shouldn't be an anger that dwells, rises up in you when somebody walks in that back door. Because long before they walk in that back door, you should have given it to God. Let me tell you what the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So my friend, you've got a responsibility, a duty. When God sees fit to bring something to your mind, show you something that you need some spiritual house cleaning on, you've got a duty and a responsibility to make it right with God. These people got physically clean. They sanctified themselves. Why? Because the Lord was going to speak. And my friend, before we have the Lord speak very much to you or to me, we're going to have to get spiritually clean and get that bad attitudes out of our lives. Get all of those things out of there that are wrong in me so that I can be ready for the King to speak to me. So I say, not only were they a listening people and they were a clean people, but look, if you will, we already read it once, but verse number 17, they were an expecting people. They were expecting. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Verse number 21 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. They were chomping at the bit, as an old saying goes, to get to hear from God. They were expecting. They were anxious, waiting to hear from heaven. And I ask you this question. Would that describe your attitude toward the Lord while you're waiting on Him? Or would we be more nonchalant? Would we be more ho-hum? Can I tell you the picture that's given here as the Israelites, they knew Moses was up in the mount and God said, you better get down there, boy. If you don't get down there and stop them, they're going to rush in here and a lot of them will die. They can't handle it. But they had sanctified, they'd cleansed themselves and now they were expecting. They were anxiously awaiting what God might do. Do you remember what it was like to be a boy, a girl? And a birthday was coming up, or Christmas, regardless of how you depending on how you grew up, whether you got a gift for Christmas or a gift for a birthday or whatnot. Do you remember what it was like to be expecting, be anxiously awaiting what was going to happen? That's what the Israelites are doing here. Just anxiously awaiting to hear from heaven, to hear from God. And they were like kids on Christmas morning, and they were expecting something. They were wanting something. They were excited to hear something. And I ask again, are we that way? Are we anxiously waiting for the Lord to pour it on us? Charles Spurgeon, the preacher in England years ago, had a young preacher boy, a young ministerial student, go out of his tutelage there, out of his ministry. And nobody got saved. He went to a service and came back and given the report, and the old preacher said, well, he was upset that nobody gotten saved. The young boy was. And the old preacher said, well, you don't expect somebody to get saved every time you go out and preach, do you? He said, well, no, I guess not. And he looked back at him and said, that's the problem. He said, you didn't go with an expectant attitude, waiting for the Lord, hoping for the Lord, praying for the Lord to move on the hearts of sinners that need to be saved. These people were expecting. As I tie it this morning into tonight, I would ask you to get up tomorrow and spend time in this book, asking the Lord to bless you through its pages. The group of people that heard from the Lord, they were listening. They were clean. Lord, we've cleaned up. And they were expecting. Give it to me, Lord. Give it to me. I can take it. And so as a church, Let us, may we answer together as they did and answer together and say, Lord, we long to hear from you and you and your family. May you say, as you go home tonight, may you say, Lord, we long as a family to hear from you. You as an individual, may you go home tonight and say, Lord, I long to hear from you. And then not only would you be an expectant person, you'd be one that's listening. Lord, I'm ready. How many of you have ever felt a little nudge from the Lord that you knew you ought to do something? I think most all of us have. How many of you resisted that sometimes? I think, again, all of us know what that's like. I've not been listening as close as I should many times. And oftentimes I've told the Lord why His idea wouldn't work. Isn't that crazy? Well, Lord, they don't want to hear about this. This group of people, verse number 8 says that they were listening. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They were listening. They were clean up. Sanctify yourself because the Lord's coming to speak. And they were expecting, wanting to hear from God. And this evening, as a church, we ought to answer together. As an individual, you ought to answer together to say, Lord, whatever you will, I want. You know, it really comes down to whether we let the Lord, going back to, I've tried to preach today and even this evening, to try to remind us of some of the things that Brother Polly had said in our revival. It really does come down to, are we letting the Lord have His way in our life every day? If you're a husband in here, I know what the Lord's way is for you in relationship or in regards to your wife. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. I know what the will of God is in that regard for children. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor father and mother. And the choice is, or the decision that we've got to make is, are we going to let the Lord have His way? These people, they were so anxious, and they said, whatever the Lord says, we'll do. And I'm asking you to make verse number 8 your verse tonight. And all the people answered and said together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The greatest ability, they say, is availability. Lord, whatever you say, I will do. And I trust that when you leave this room this evening, that you'll be able, as the Israelites said, whatever God you say, I'll do. It doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever you say, I'll do. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to make it very clear to us that we need to be a listening people to you. We need to be a clean people, Lord. Hard to think that you'd reach over a rotten, wicked, vengeful attitude that I have to pour your blessings out on me. And Lord, then they were an expecting people. Listening and clean and expecting. And Lord, I pray that many folks tonight could use the sentiments given in verse number 8 and make it true in their life tonight. And may they, as the Scripture says, may they say to you, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Lord, bless us now is our prayer. My invitation is this, church. If you're here and you're saved, I'm just asking you to do again what Brother Polly asked a couple weeks ago now tonight, to let the Lord have His way. If you're here and you're unsaved, not sure you're on your way to heaven, couldn't give a Bible reason of why you should be in heaven if something were to happen to you tonight. In just a moment when we stand, there'll be somebody standing in front of the pulpit on the main floor in front of where I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you could be sure you are on your way to heaven. Whatever your need is, I trust that you don't leave before you let the Lord have His way. Would you stand together as they begin to play? If God spoke into your heart, would you come this evening? The people answered together. They were unified. They're listening to the Lord and expecting Him to speak. As they continue to play, if you're here tonight, and there's something in your life that the sweet Holy Ghost of God has already convicted you of, but you just won't do any spiritual house cleaning, I'm asking you one more time, would you just simply give it over to the Lord? Listen, folks, this life is too short. We don't have time to be caught up in all kinds of bitterness and anger and thinking somebody did us this way or the other. We need to give those to the Lord. Spiritual house cleaning, we'll call it. And if there's anything that needs to be spiritually house cleaned out, I challenge you before you pillow your head tonight that you do it. And then one last time, if you're here not sure you're saved, would you step out and come as they just play a little longer? We'll take after that as long as you need. The invitation's given to you. Father, we want to thank You for the time to be in Your house. Dear Lord, thank You for the goodness that You've bestowed upon us. Thank You for all the folks that are gathered here tonight. Lord, thank You for allowing me to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Dear Lord, thank You for the kindnesses that were shown even tonight. Dear Lord, I'm so grateful for people that would love and be good to somebody like me. I thank You for that. Lord, we thank You and give all thanks to that, to You for that. And then, Lord, I thank You for another Lord's Day we get to celebrate together. Lord, we get to dwell on the thoughts and the principles of the Word of God, Your Word. Thank You for that. Lord, please bless us now, I pray, as we go to our homes. And Lord, as we live our lives this week, may we remember, Lord, to get up and get in Your Word tomorrow. Spend some time with You, listening, dwelling, dear Lord, I pray. Lord, let these messages not fall on deaf ears. May we be challenged tomorrow just to meditate on You, think about You, spend time with You. Lord, bless us and bless it to be true, I pray. Well, thank You for all of these good things. In Jesus' name, amen.